Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to How to Deal with Someone Who Drives You Crazy right here on the Life Coach Radio Network. My name is Carrie Spaulding, and I'm your host today, and I am the 30-something coach. So what I do is I help 30-somethings who aren't who or where they thought they'd be with their relationships, careers, and lives. And if you're like a lot of 30-somethings, you might be experiencing what I call 30-something panic and feeling like you should have figured it all out by now. So what I do is I help 30-somethings use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. And sometimes that involves a big transition, like a career change or breakup or a big move or finding a new relationship, nurturing a current relationship. I'm also the founder of 30-something Summer Camp, which is a virtual getaway and workshop series where you connect with 30-somethings just like you from all over the place. And I live in Philadelphia and do most of my coaching over the phone, which means that I get to work with people from lots of different places, and I really, really love that. You can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's C-A-R-R-I-E. SBAULDING.com. And you can also reach me on Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of social media places. I'll give you that information at the end of the show today in case you're interested in connecting. Love to hear from you and hear what's going on in your lives and how you're using what you learn on our show. So today we are going to be talking about 6 tips for dealing with someone who drives you crazy. And if you have any questions or comments about anything that we discussed today, or if you want to share anything, you can call in at 646-716-7937. And you can also type in on the chat. I'm going to launch chat right now, so that's going to be a place where you can anonymously share comments that you might have as well. So we have all had the experience of having somebody in our lives who drives us just absolutely bonkers. So maybe it's somebody on your team at work, somebody that you have to work closely with, or maybe just occasionally you end up having to work together and you dread those meetings or you dread those times when you're going to be working with that person. Or maybe you are in the member of a social club or association, maybe a community or a civic association, and there's somebody there who just gets in the way of you truly enjoying the activity. Or maybe you even have somebody in your friend group who just gets under your skin somehow. And here's what I want to share with you today. This is something that you know on some level and you've heard before. It's sometimes annoying, but it's always true. You can't actually control anybody but yourself. So these tips are going to help you take away your focus on what the person who is irritating you so much is doing and help you actually change your own approach to the situation so that you have your power back. Because what happens when someone drives us crazy and we are compelled to be around them for whatever reason, maybe we're choosing to be in a situation or we're presented with a situation where we have to be with that person, we can feel really powerless, like there's nothing that we can do about it. And it's true that we can't control the other person, but we may be able to influence them, and we can certainly make choices about ourselves. And that's what I want to share with you today. So the first tip is to turn that person into your teacher. Turn that person into your teacher. So I want to just share personally that without a doubt, my most difficult and professional, the relationships that have been most difficult professionally and personally have offered me some of my hugest learning opportunities. So I know what it's like to have somebody who just drives you nuts or pushes all your buttons and you just clash. And I've come to believe that those people who push our buttons the most are actually the very people who we can learn the most from. They're the people who can cause us to experience the most conflict, and they also can cause us to make the biggest growth and biggest learning. And what's interesting is sometimes that can happen without that person even being any the wiser. I'll sometimes say somebody, you know, even if somebody else isn't a great teacher, you can be a great learner. So you can learn a lot from somebody even if they aren't really engaged in that process with you. So ask yourself, the next time somebody really pushes your buttons or does something in a way that you think is just terrible, you can ask yourself, what do I have to learn from this person? Some other questions you can ask are, what about me is reacting to him or to her? What about me? What inside of you is reacting to that person? What buttons is she pushing or is he pushing? Remember, that person didn't put the button there. They just pushed it. So the trigger, the button comes from somewhere else. And sometimes the people who irk us the most are touching on some sort of button inside of us. And you can ask yourself, what's being challenged in me? Maybe what's the value that I have that's not being met or that's being challenged in some way by this person? There's huge, huge transformation available to you here, I promise. I have experienced it personally, and I have worked with so many people who have been able to actually make huge growth in their lives by turning somebody who drives them crazy into their teacher. The second tip is to try to imagine the person as a child. Not as a child, like right now in the situation that they're in with you right now, but actually realize that the person in front of you who's making you crazy was once a child. Once that person was somebody's little boy or somebody's little girl. And what's interesting is that it's so easy for us to just unleash our anger or our judgment on somebody else in our life when that person is an adult. But think about the way that we treat children. Think about the way that we kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. And if we all made the extra effort to be patient with adults, that we kind of automatically grant that patience to children, the world might be a lot more peaceful. But the other thing is that what can happen to you when you start to think about the person as, you know, oh, I wonder what this person was like in third grade or in first grade or in seventh grade in the awkward middle school years. One thing that can happen is you can start to feel some empathy for that person that you might not have as you're just looking at their adult self. You also might be able to sort of remind yourself, by thinking of this person as a child, sort of remind yourself that we're all a product of our experiences, and you do not ever, ever know what path somebody else has traveled. You might think you know, but there's so much that you don't know about somebody's background, somebody's upbringing, some of the experiences that that person had, the lessons that they learned about how they're supposed to be to get what they want in the world or to take care of themselves or protect themselves, or maybe the lessons that they didn't get. So your annoying colleague or friend or whoever it might be was once a baby, was once a third grader, was once a teenager. And just the way that you became who you are, partly based on your experiences and your models, so did she or so did he. And you have vulnerabilities and that person has vulnerabilities as well. So sometimes when you can picture the other person as a child and kind of just realize that's a person going through life just like you're going through life, that can help you step out of your judgment mode and tap into your compassion. And sometimes doing that can help you feel automatically more patient and more ready to see the good in somebody or at least release some of your frustration. The third tip is to try to imagine the person when she or he is alone, getting ready for work in the morning or getting ready for bed at night. Now, that might sound a little bit weird to picture your annoying boss getting into his pajamas at night or to picture that obnoxious woman from your civic association getting up in the morning. But the reason for this is that it can help you really soften your anger or your frustration. When you imagine someone alone, you kind of get in touch with the human side and the other parts of their life that you don't see, that, you know, maybe you've written them off kind of as a known quantity. You know how they always are. But the thing is that just like you, this person gets into bed at night, and maybe just like you, this person gets into bed at night and has thoughts swirling through their heads about what they did that day, reviewing the things that happened, thinking about the mistakes that he made, or hoping that some things will be different in her life, or feeling like a failure in some way, or feeling really nervous about something. We all have a rich inner life, and we all have things happening, and we can't really know what anyone else is going through. So when you imagine the person, when he or she is alone, getting ready for work in the morning or getting ready for bed at night, and you kind of wonder, what might he be worrying about, or what might she wish for? What ongoing struggle is he facing, or what issue is she dealing with? This, again, can turn on your compassion and your empathy, and it can help you to be more patient with somebody that you're maybe used to thinking of as only that annoying colleague or that woman who just makes my job a nightmare. So this creates a different perspective, and that can be so helpful when you think about somebody who drives you nuts. You might even, you know, we've all seen movies where you see a character in one situation and then you see them going home to, you know, his dog or getting into the empty house, and you see a very big contrast. And that could be going on in this person's life as well. So try to imagine that person when he or she is alone. It can be really powerful. So some of these things that we've talked about so far are very internal, right? So in the first tip that I shared with you, turning the person into your teacher, unbeknownst to him or her, inside your head, you're thinking about, what do I have to learn from this person, or what buttons are being pushed? The second tip is to imagine the person as a child. Again, you're imagining, you're getting, that's a very internal action step. And then when you imagine the person when he or she is alone, either getting ready for work in the morning, getting ready for bed at night, again, this is a very internal thing. In a minute, I'm going to share with you three external, sort of more outer tips that you can try, which involve actually engaging with that person. But first, I want to tell you about a few shows we have coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. So on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Mark My Words with Mark Shaw. And the show he's doing is called Rewrite Perfect. And it's about a recovering perfectionist getting real about failure and what's truly perfect. Mark is going to be interviewing TEDx Buffalo women's speaker Maria Pascucci. I hope I'm saying your name right, Maria. And Maria is going to talk about her own battle with perfectionism and overachievement. That sounds really interesting. So that is Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Then on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, we have Off the Cuff, The Art of Impromptu Speaking with Danielle Mercurio and Danielle Mund. And two Danielle Life Coach Radio hosts, they actually met each other through the Life Coach Radio Network, which is so great. And they're teaming up to talk about an upcoming live event that they have in New York City called Off the Cuff, The Art of Impromptu Speaking, which is all about learning to speak effectively on the fly and manage. And I think that's going to be an absolutely fabulous event. As an improviser myself, I can definitely speak to the power of becoming comfortable with impromptu speaking. And then on Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And Leanne is going to be interviewing Marnie Batista, who's the founder of Dating with Dignity. And she helps people pinpoint why they are or are not dateable and what types of messages they broadcast to men, maybe unconsciously, based on their thoughts, feelings, actions, and attitudes. So that should be a really great show as well. You can usually hear me on the Life Coach Radio Network on the second and fourth Fridays of the month, almost always at noon Eastern time. So now we're going to talk about three tips for you when somebody drives you crazy and you've already taken the first few steps. You've done the inner work first, because oftentimes starting on the inside is a really good beginning, and then you can take some steps on the outside as well. So the fourth tip that I have for you is to choose one, two, three admirable qualities in the person that you are going to observe and maybe even emulate, so actually put into action. So here's the thing. Everybody has good qualities. Everybody has good qualities. So ask yourself and let yourself just non-defensively take a look at this person and say, what qualities do I admire in this person, no matter how crazy the rest of her makes you? Just look until you find at least one or two qualities that you find admirable. And sometimes, there's a tricky place you can find this. Sometimes we actually dislike somebody because they really boldly express some quality that we feel that we can't express or that we shouldn't express. So let me give you a really good example that actually a lot of people seem to face. Some people feel really frustrated by people who are impulsive and don't really give any thought to what other people are doing. They don't worry about looking at something from every single angle, and they get really frustrated by that. So that might be the reason that the person drives you crazy, but it's possible that there's a part of you that admires that ability to just act on instinct and be in the moment and not always be worried about what everybody else thinks. So sometimes the very thing that drives you crazy is also a quality that on some level you kind of wish you could express or feel that you shouldn't express. So a good place to look is, what does this person do that you secretly wish you could do too? And remember, just because you're going to try that quality on and give yourself permission to express it, it doesn't mean that you need to act in a way that is not in line with your values. It just might mean that you're going to give yourself permission to tap into a different part of you that maybe you usually don't allow yourself to express. So it's not that you want to just behave in the way that this person is behaving so that you drive yourself and someone else crazy. It's more about just kind of looking for the qualities that might sometimes be a strength, even though you're not necessarily viewing them that way. So this is the cool thing. Just raising this question and really trying to think about qualities in the other person to admire, just asking the question tricks your brain into starting to notice the positive things instead of only focusing so much on the negative ones. Just asking the question is actually powerful because it tricks your brain into trying to look for the positive. And when we look for the positive, we find it. Doesn't mean that the person won't keep driving you crazy, but suddenly you'll have a more balanced view. So be on the lookout. What are this person's really good qualities? The fifth tip is to make a point of doing a secret small kindness every day. Secret small kindness for this person every day. Or, you know, of course, tweak this so that it works for you. If you only see this person once a week or once a month, then you're not going to maybe be able to do something every single day. But you can tweak it according to your situation. So this might sound totally nuts to you, to go out of your way to do something nice for someone who drives you crazy. And maybe that person doesn't even treat you very well. So, like, why should you do something nice for them? But I promise you that this strategy can do really amazing things. So when you make a point of doing a secret small kindness for this person, first of all, it gives you a focus on, again, positive engagement, on how can I positively interact with this person. Beyond that, what's interesting is that when you're doing these secret small kindnesses, you might find that brightening that person's day could actually end up impacting his or her behavior positively. Now, that's not why you're doing it, so don't get attached to the outcome. So, you know, the idea that, oh, I'm doing this nice thing so that person better act different, that's not what it's really about, but it might be a nice side benefit. Sometimes if you're brightening somebody's day, you might notice that something's changed in the way that that person actually is. So the point is not to draw attention to what you're doing, but to see what you can get away with secretly doing. And it's really, really amazing how when you start looking for ways to be kind to someone, it can really get you, it tricks you, kind of. It tricks your own brain into being more invested in that person's well-being, and then there can be a ripple effect. So you're then, instead of being engaged in frustration and disconnection, suddenly you're engaged in generosity and positive feeling. And that kind of energy can have amazing, amazing ripple effect it can really carry. The sixth tip is to ask the person for their feedback or their suggestions on something. So again, it might sound really weird. Why would I ask advice from someone I don't even like? Or why would I ask for feedback from somebody who I don't respect? The thing is that bringing in the person to help you might cause that person to show you a really different side of his or her personality than the one you usually see. Because what you're doing is you're showing that person you value his opinion, or you're demonstrating respect for her just by asking her to help. And the thing is, some people really shift when they feel needed or they feel like they could help somebody. That can actually bring the best out of people. So you never know, if you approach someone in that way, you might even find to your very surprise that that person has wisdom to share or valuable feedback to share. So there's a couple of good things that can come out of this. One thing is that you may just bring out a different type of attitude from the person. For example, some people are really combative and they can tend to be really negative. If you turn to that person and say, hey, I have this challenge. I wonder, like, would you mind helping me think about it? Sometimes that person is going to turn into a totally different kind of attitude, you know, because you might bring out their nurturing side, or you might bring out part of them that wants to feel needed. And at the same time, you might get that good advice. And if you do get good results from the advice, be sure to actually circle back and tell the person, hey, thanks so much. You know, it's interesting. I took your feedback and this really great thing happened. And when you show that kind of appreciation, that might actually start to build the relationship and, again, spread that positive energy. So if you have transformed a negative relationship using these strategies or other strategies, I would love to hear from you. You can comment on the Life Coach Radio Network Facebook page or on my Facebook page, facebook.com/the30-something coach, 30-something written out, no numbers, no spaces, no dashes, or at Spalding Carrie, SpaldingCarrie, on Twitter. You can tweet to me and let me know your strategies, but I'd really love to hear from you and hear how are you shifting your negative relationships at work, in your friendship circles, in your community. And I'm going to just review the six tips. Number one, turn the person into your teacher. Number two, try to imagine the person as a child. Number three, try to imagine the person when she or he is alone getting ready for work in the morning or going to get ready for bed at night. Choose 1 to 3 admirable qualities in the person that you're going to pay attention to and maybe even try to emulate. The fifth is to make a point of doing a secret small kindness for this person every day. And the sixth is to ask the person for their feedback or suggestions on something. So I'd love to hear from you, and you can also connect with me on my website at carriespalding.com. And if you are looking to join a community of other people who are invested in changing their lives, their relationship, careers, and are interested in meeting you so that we're not in this alone, but we're all together, please visit www.30somethingsummercamp.com. I've just opened registration, and we're going to be 30-somethings from all over the place this summer, meeting in a virtual getaway and having a really good time doing it. So you can find that information at 30somethingsummercamp.com. Have a wonderful day, everyone, and get out there and change your attitude and deal with somebody who drives you absolutely crazy. I'll talk to you next time.